This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me...
Gillian Hunt.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Gillian, you're involved in something called IDT. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's interactive drawing therapy, which is a form of therapy for people who are wanting to improve their lives in some way, usually to do with past history, pressing on them in ways that are painful. So they come along to a therapist to resolve that.
Okay, so it involves drawing, but interactive drawing. What is interactive drawing?
Well, it's by contrast, there's art therapy, which is just the person doing the artwork, and the therapist is there simply to support them and not to get involved or ask questions or do anything. Whereas this is the therapist actually has a role to in a structure that invites the client to go deeper all the time. There's a structure that the therapist will use to make to allow the client to go more deeply into their.
So how do you start them off with a drawing then? You give them a theme or just say draw whatever you feel like.
I would sit down with the client and I'd say, do you have some idea of what you want to get out of this process? And they always do, because they've come along with something pressing on them in some way. So they might I was talking to someone recently who said, my mother could never look at me. I never felt seen by her. And that caused her pain when she was growing up, and still as an adult she still feels pain about it.
Okay.
And so we do some work on her being able to make herself visible.
Okay, so she'd do a drawing of some kind.
Yes.
So you say, could you draw what that feels like?
That's right. Okay. That'd be a good cue. She'd already started her drawing, but she had a drawing of herself and her mother and this line between them that was kind of blocked and blurred out. Actually, the part that she drew that represented her was very faint. It wasn't well defined at all.
Okay. So then you would prompt her to look deeper into that. What does it mean, and why did you do it that way?
Well, IDT has a triangle that you go around of words, images, and feelings.
Okay.
So with that initial diagram, I might say, what are the words that go with this? And she'd write something like, I've never felt seen. And what is the feeling? And it was distress.
Okay, so you've got two different forms of expression, the visual and the verbal, and you're expressing the feeling. So somehow you're linking those together.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Visual, verbal, and the feelings.
Okay.
So I suppose...
But you're trying to represent something that expresses the feelings through those.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's normally a one-on-one process,
Yes, it is normally.
Okay.
You can do group work, and can do couples work, but yes, normally it's one-to-one.
Okay. So is there an established literature with this? Or?
There is a little bit now. The person who started off, who developed it, was Russell Withers, and he started his life as an architect, his working life as an architect. So some various things happened in his life that meant that he started going to therapy, and from that he became a therapist, and but he took his architectural skills with him, so when the client was talking he would be writing the words and drawing diagrams.
Okay.
And the client got interested in the drawings, and so in the evolution of this, the client did the drawings.
Okay. So where was this happening, and what sort of time scale? Is this relatively new?
Yes, relatively new. Auckland in the... probably the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is something that's unique to New Zealand, or it's spread overseas at all?
Unique to New Zealand, yes.
Okay.
I mean, there are other forms of drawing therapy, but this one has been particularly well developed by Russell. I think because he was an architect, so he's interested in structures and symmetry and things like that.
Okay, so what structures are there? You mentioned the triangle, but...
Yes. Well, there are key concepts such as overt and covert. So some things are in the drawing are overt, some things in the drawing there by implication, so they're therefore covert.
Yeah.
There's conscious and unconscious,
because
as the client works with the drawing, they go deeper and deeper into it, from conscious to unconscious. There's external world and internal world, so they show on the page what's going on in the internal world, or they can draw things that are going on in their external world.
Okay.
In fact, Jung said that, just as a little digression, Jung said when he was exploring play and realizing that play was an expression of unconsciousness, like children's unconscious play, and he decided to get out some blocks, and he was playing with blocks, and then he said that was a bit clumsy, so he did drawings instead, and then he discovered, he said, I realized that the drawings are like an X-ray of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so what comes out on the page is a projection of what we've got inside us.
Okay. So, and you're trained to interpret that, or you're just drawing the people out with it?
No interpretation.
Okay.
The client interprets it, though. So when they see the drawing, they'll explain it, and they'll make connections, and stuff will come up from their unconscious that they hadn't even ever thought about, and when they put it up on the page, they'll say, "Where did that come from?"
Yeah, so
it's just their from their own unconscious workings. They can get insights and revelations and new perspectives.
So it's basically a therapy session where you're using the drawings to bring out issues.
Yes, access the client's unconscious.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where would clients come from for this? They come to you specifically for that?
Yes, they do. Because I've been around for a while now, and I'm relatively well known, people will just phone up and ask for an appointment. But in the earlier days, I'd go out and talk about IDT, and people would say, "Oh, can I come along?" Or, "Can you be my supervisor?" Or whatever.
Okay.
So, and then, of course, in this process, I learnt heaps about it, and then Russell trained us to be teachers.
Okay.
So I was teaching it. And, of course, once you teach something, you have to know it thoroughly.
Yeah, you learn a lot more by teaching.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Russell had developed the foundation courses, which are Unit 1 and Unit 2, and then he developed an advanced course, and then he developed quite a few other courses. And that one I've just been down to in Wellington on IDT and trauma is a new development of IDT by someone who's an experienced person who's taken an interest in trauma and working with trauma.
Okay. So there's a growing number of practitioners around and training courses for practitioners.
IDT just about faded out because Russell's had the unfortunate thing of getting dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And so wasn't able to teach or guide us or anything anymore. It was a huge loss. But there were enough of us who were trained and teaching and experienced to actually band together and carry on.
Okay.
So we've formed a group called the Custodial Guardians.
And that's all still within New Zealand?
There's quite a strong group in Australia as well.
Okay.
Because I, myself and a colleague went over to Australia in the, it's about 15 years ago, and started to teach classes over there.
Okay.
And so there was enough interest in Australia for that to keep going. And in fact, Australia was going better than New Zealand for a while once Russell had stepped down.
Okay.
But now New Zealand's really coming to life again as well. It's great.
Because of courses that you're running, training people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been involved in it then?
Something like 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a long time.
Okay. And so, and you say you've got a group who are sort of maintaining and developing.
Yes.
How large is the group?
There's 7 or 8 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And a diverse group, but some really good, strong group members.
Yeah, but mainly coming from a counselling type background?
Yes,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, almost all. I think everyone's a counsellor.
Yeah. So you see it really as an extension of your, or an extra part of your toolkit as counsellors?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, although those who have travelled the journey far enough to become teachers have done that, and they're the ones who are helping to keep IDT going.
Okay. So what sort of people does it help?
Well, right across the board, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone who had problems with addiction and was referred to 3 sessions of counselling because he'd been blood tested and had dope in his system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the workplace's process is to refer him for 3 sessions of counselling, as if that would be enough to help him.
Yeah, yeah.
But with drawing therapy, it's possible to do a lot of work in a short space of time.
Okay.
Because, as they say, you know, a picture holds 1,000 words.
Yeah.
So if you do a drawing, there's a lot of value in that drawing, hidden at first, but you get it over time.
Okay, things. Well, you're sort of tapping into the subconscious than just normal.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
For example, if I do a drawing, I'll sometimes just put it by my bed and sleep on it, so to speak. And in the morning, I'll wake up with new insights. So,
okay, and the people don't have to have particular artistic skill to.
No. In fact, it's a limitation if you're artistic, because you spend time wanting to make it look good. But the whole idea of the drawing is that it's just a thought process, an expression, and a step to something else, to something deeper.
Okay. So do you find it may be better for people who have difficulty expressing themselves verbally?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or people for whom English is the second language.
Yeah.
So, yeah. People who are shy. Sometimes I've had people say, I'm afraid to say it, and I'll say, can you write it down?
Mm.
And he wrote it down.
Yeah.
Held
it
up for me to read.
Oh, as words, do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But he didn't want to say it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very, very touching.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long do sessions go if you...
Well, an hour session, and the value of that's huge, because they'll take away reflections from that session, take the drawings with them, and maybe come back in a fortnight or a month even, and then do another piece.
Yeah. So you'd normally have a series of repeat... Well,
yes.
Not repeat, but a series of sessions
rather than
just one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've got some people that just come to me regularly once a week.
Okay.
You know, that's the sustaining thing for them to do.
Okay.
Strengthening.
So, and it's normally, say, well, you mentioned one case of addiction. Is it sort of very, psychological problems, probably not the right way to go, but... It's
anything,
not just personal issues that people have. It can be something much deeper than that.
Yes. It can feel like a personal issue if they're having trouble in their workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be suggested that they need to go and do some therapy because there's some difficulty going on in the workplace.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But that's not always the client's problem. Sometimes it's the boss's problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Mm. Can it lead you down the wrong track, do you think, Matt?
No, because it works with what the client puts on the page, so it always works with their material.
Okay.
You don't bring in anything of your own.
Okay, yeah.
And that way it's very respectful to others.
And I suppose you'd have all the normal rules of counselling about confidentiality. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we talked briefly about interpretation, but there is no interpretation at any stage with this by the counsellor. The client might see, make connections and see things and realise things in the drawing that actually point to their lives.
So you're asking questions as prompts?
Yes.
That can lead them anyway, can't it?
Well, because there are particular styles of interventions, like if you were doing a drawing and you did a black piece really heavily drawn in one corner, I'd just hold the drawing up and so that you could see it from more of a distance, and I'd say, talk to me about this black piece. And I wouldn't say, oh, this is an angry bit or anything like that. I'd just say, talk to me about this black piece. And then you'd talk about it and I'd get you to write it down.
So can it bring out things like sort of severe trauma or...
Yes, clients, as they go through the sessions and get... For people to talk about their trauma, it takes them a little while to feel safe, actually, usually. So once they've established that this is a safe process, they'll just naturally start to talk about it.
Because there's a part
of them that wants to heal.
Yeah, but you'd all be trained in how to cope with that as well as how to do the therapy. But sometimes I suppose they'd find things that they weren't even really aware of, if they or interpretations of things that they weren't aware of.
Yes, that's right.
So how far is that guided by sort of current conventions as to what sort of issues and problems people might have?
Well, I think it's always up to the client. Like I had a client, she said she had some relationship issues, and I said, put yourself and your partner on the page, and I held it up. And she looked at it and she said, oh, I've drawn us so far apart. And that was her insight. And then, you know, write that down. Sometimes I'll fold the page to fold the people closer. What's that like? Or you could, with her permission, you could cut them apart and hold it well apart and say, how's that? Put another page in between. What's in between these two people? And so on. You can be quite creative with the page.
So you're giving a few prompts, but it's largely
Give prompts that help them develop more awareness, but you don't tell them anything.
And you mentioned a few times the idea they do a drawing and then you hold it some distance away so they can see it from a different perspective.
That's right.
Is that
yes, so they do the drawing and when it's down in front of them, they're up close and personal with it. You hold it at a distance and it pulls up their observer part, so they're able to look at it with more more dispassionately.
And is there, I think at one stage you mentioned about, you know, you do a drawing and then look at it the next day. So it's something that people can do for themselves as well?
Yes, absolutely. Especially as you get more used to the modality, it's a great way to do your own personal reflections on things.
So you actually use that quite regularly?
I do. I've got a colleague that comes here every Monday night and she and I both do a drawing.
And
we talk to each other about our drawings and then leave it at that. Next time we meet we might discuss what insights came up from that.
But now I did mention the idea that certain, in fact, in some issues, I say if something's been defined socially as a problem or something, you can then people can tend to identify with it. There's a label, so they can see it. Do you find that that's guiding what people, not so much what you put in, because it's up to them, but what they tend to see?
Well, I think that I'm just thinking of an example of someone that had some difficulties at work and she was told she had to go to counselling because she had this problem. And as she looked at it in counselling, she realised it wasn't her problem, it was a workplace problem and a boss problem.
Right, you mean the other... Well, isn't it all a matter of the dynamics between people? Yeah. So why is it not... she's she's the agent that she can control in that. So surely in that sense it's her problem.
She didn't feel that she had the agency. The next session she came back and she said, I called a meeting.
Okay.
Which was quite a powerful thing to do.
Yes.
And sorted it out then.
Oh, good.
With her boss and her colleagues.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she became more assertive, as they...
Well, more self...
Like aggressive?
No. More self...
self-assured?
Yeah, self-guiding.
So you gave her the foundation from which she could present her case more effectively.
Yes, well, she decided it herself. I didn't say call her.
No, you helped to build it, but...
Yes. I think she felt affirmed enough to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Self-affirmed,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Mm. So what sort of problems do you tend to find people want to deal with? Many family, relationship, work?
Yeah, all sorts of variations on family issues, relationship issues between the partners, or family, parent and child, or the child with the parent somewhere that's a difficulty. Mm. Workplace, of course.
Do blended families and things come up a lot in there? Is it, you know, current issues tend to show up?
But not as you'd expect. There was a family I was working with, or the parents, and there was so much love and care in that family, and they just had to sort out, I can't even remember what the processes were, but they sorted out a way for everyone to feel they could express their love and care. It was good.
Okay. And one thing that was, because if a lot of it's relationship, then is it TA, transactional?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is there much overlap with that?
Oh, I use that a lot, yes.
Okay, so do you want to say briefly what TA is?
Well, transactional analysis is simply an analysis of how people communicate and how they, and particularly it divides each person into three. There's the child, the parent and the adult.
Mm-hmm.
And the child is split into two, that's a happy, free child and the adapted child. And the parent is the nurturing parent and the critical parent. Mm. And the third stage is the wise adult, and that's not split.
Mm.
So, but a lot of people get...
So there isn't a foolish adult, then?
No. You've either gone down to the adapted child.
You've gone down, foolish adults are child.
They've dropped down to the adapted child.
Yeah.
So while you're working with couple in a room, that one might be being the adapted child and the other might be the critical parent.
Mm.
So they have to realise that they've taken that role and change roles.
Okay.
And then get up into the wise adult, and then everything runs more smoothly.
Okay. And you find then through IDT you can draw out some aspects of this, what's going on.
Sometimes I'll just draw the diagram of those three states and just let them... think about how they're related.
Where they are.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of this seems to be the issue of communication. Would that be right?
Yeah, certainly between adults, but there's also that intrapsychic state where it's all going on inside yourself. Other people might not even know what the difficulties are, or if there's kind of a stress or an argument going on within yourself about something.
Okay, and just the concept of drawing as a therapy suggests lack of self-awareness about some of these things?
Because it's going on in the unconscious, it's never been taken out and looked at.
So
with IDT you can put it out there on the page and look at it, and the client will see almost without fail, I see what I'm doing here. I'm being that, acting out of that part of me instead of acting out of the wise adult. Yeah.
Is some of this linked to the way we live now? I think in the internet, the way people communicate, the instantaneous things, yeah, isn't it? So there's the not the slow self-perception, yes, and reflection, yes, that goes on.
Oh, for sure. Hmm. Yeah.
So how do you see that showing up?
Well, when we engage with screens, we're more in our left brain.
With screen? I see, with computer and TV.
Yes, and
yes,
phones, yeah.
Okay.
So we're more our left brain with that. And there's so much connection that goes on.
Is it
with our
left brain. Left brain's intuitive, right brain thinking, or the other way around?
Right brain's more intuitive. Left brain goes into the detail.
Okay.
And right brain goes out for the big picture.
Ah, okay.
So we need both.
Yeah.
But left brain sort of sorts and
so you get bogged down in detail, and you're not standing, but which is why you hold a picture back and
that's
they can see it in a different way.
You got
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah.
And say with lockdown, where we were all on our screens much more.
So do you ever tell them, okay, now I'm going to show you the other part of your as you hold the picture back?
No, I don't say that because then they'd start analysing.
Okay.
I just hold up the page
and say,
I'm just holding it up for you to see this from a distance.
Yeah, okay.
And you'll watch their face and watch their eyes and you'll see some different process take over, which is more, looks like it's more internal, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they'll come up with an insight.
Okay.
If that's what's going to happen.
We're nearly at time, but just one quick query. Do you find people are sometimes resistant to what you're trying to do with this?
Yeah. If people are resistant, it's because they don't feel safe enough.
Okay.
So I'll just spend more time helping them feel safe.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll draw on their behalf if they don't want to draw.
Are they sceptical of it, though? Or you say unsafe, but is it,
yeah,
you know, what's this mumbo-jumbo with drawing silly pictures?
Yes, probably. Yeah. But, I mean, once you get into the process, it really takes, it really captures them, and they can see the value of it.
Yeah.
And if they say, what's this mumbo-jumbo at the end of the session, I'll think, oh, well, this isn't for them.
Yeah. And you see that there's potential for this to grow then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't think we can stop it growing.
Mm. Okay. And there's a younger generation coming through?
Yes, there is a younger generation coming
through. Okay. That's very promising.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.